Hallelujah. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we continue our study on the book of Colossians. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 11. Actually, this whole paragraph, Paul continuing his illustration. After we connect to the head, after we know and uplift the supremacy of Christ, and what should we do now? According to Paul, that we should start to live a new life. So verse 1 to verse 11, he talks about in Christ, how do we live a new life, new beginning. Let's look at verse 1 to 4 first. Verse 1 to 4, yesterday, where did we stop? The brother's side. From Aaron, yeah, is it Aaron? Chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Okay, these few words talk about our new life in Christ. Now, where does the new life start? The new life must start from the heart. Because the heart, according to the Bible, is the wellspring of life. If your heart changes, your action will change. Your heart changes, your life will change. And then the outcome of your life will also change. So why do we come to NYTS? We all want to live a glorious life. But how do we have a glorious life? You need a new beginning. But new beginning always starts from the heart, and brother and sister. That's why every prayer, we have to ask our Lord Jesus Christ, you have to renew my heart. You have to transform my heart. Start from the heart comes everything good. Start from the heart also comes everything bad. It really depends. So new life, start from the heart. Of course, there are many ways to talk to heresy or try to defend it. But the only way to overcome heresy and sinful desire, here tells us, is to be alive with Christ or resurrected with Christ. In verse 1 here tells us, if you truly, truly alive with Christ or resurrected with Christ. In a specific term here called raised with Christ. Now, here tell us a few things. You can underline it this in these two verses. There's a lot of important spiritual teachings inside. First, let's talk about resurrection. Because in verse 1, you see the term, you're raised with Christ. There are two kinds of resurrection. The first time you resurrected spiritually is when you receive the true water baptism, which is in chapter 2, verse 12. Yesterday we talked about that. That when you decided you want to believe, you want to get baptized, wash the sins away, come out of the water, you resurrect with Christ. But this is only the beginning. This is not the conclusion. This is not the end. That is only the beginning. Just like NYTS is a beginning. But if you have a good beginning, when you go home, you don't continue Bible reading, you don't continue prayer half an hour a day at least, your spiritual life will die down. We'll just go back to normal. So we need the second resurrection. The second raise up is, let Christ to come into our heart and transform it. This is kind of spiritual effort, spiritual pursuit. This is not inborn. You have to work hard to attain this. What about them? You don't have to work hard to get it. Because most of you have already been baptized before you even wanted to do so. But spiritual renewal, spiritual seeking, pursuing the higher goal, needs spiritual effort. Now, if you go back to this verse, here tell us two things. First, talk about you seek the things which is above. And then in verse 2, tell us, set your mind. So you circle these two actions here. first is these two S here, right? The first one is set your mind. This means you focus on something. After you focus, after you set your mind, and then you go for it, you seek it. So this is two action. So Paul said it's all started from the mind. Whatever your mind seek will determine your spiritual growth in your spiritual level. So these two action is what we are going to talk this morning. It's very important. First, Paul tells us, we have to seek the things that is from above. Seek the things that is from above. Now, of course, you have to think about what are we seeking today? You are what you seek. If you seek the world, the world will fill you. If you seek the sinful pleasure, the devil will fill your heart. If you seek drugs, right, your whole body is drugs, your life ruined. What you are, what you seek. If you seek God, God will fill you, and your life will be transformed. So that's why, if we seek spiritual, what does it mean? The things from above. The things from above means the things in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual world. Broadly speaking, spiritual thing is anything on everything that is related to God. So Paul tells us, you have to seek, you have to pursue anything that is related to the spiritual realm, rather than spending too much time seeking for the material world or the material enjoyment. Of course, there are two steps of seeking God. Physically, step one is you have to be in the chapel. Physically, you have to bring yourself, come into the church. Like in NYTS these 2 weeks, you seek God. You force your body to come here. Every Saturday, we go to church to observe Sabbath. And then we seek God. But let's step one step. Another question we ask ourselves, does it mean your physical body is in the church? You are close to God? The answer is no. Just like now, 80 people are here. Your body is whole here. But I'm sure not everybody is close to God the same degree. Why? If your body is here, but if your heart is not here, if your heart is so happy, wow, after 2 days I'm free. Nobody tell me to do this and that. Nobody tell me, force me to pray. Nobody to force me to read Bible. I'll go back to my old life. If your heart is like that, you are not close to God, even you are in NYTS. But step two is we have to bring our hearts into, enter the spiritual world, using our hearts to go deeper in God, in Christ. Because God is spirit. The worshipper must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So spirit also means our heart. So if we want to draw close to God, you have to seek God, we have to use our heart. Secondly, Paul said, set your mind on things above. This is have to be very important. You have to set your mind. What are you thinking now? Mind is the most important, as we said. Let's turn to the Paul verse, chapter 4, verse 23. This is one of my favorite words. It's always guided me and remind me, the heart is what it takes. The heart is the most important. Next one, brother. Yes, guard your heart. Because out of it, it comes all the wellspring, all the everything of life. Everything flows from your heart. So Paul said, it's very important. If you want to seek God, if you want to have a new beginning, if you want to be close to God and receive blessing. Now, it's very important. What do you focus? What do you set your mind onto? For example, if you take a picture, it doesn't really matter what kind of camera you use, but the most important thing is whether you know how to focus on the object. Even you use the best camera, but you don't focus the thing that you are trying to take picture, your picture is useless. Today is the same. We are just like a spiritual camera, right? What do you focus? If you focus your mind in the world, then what will flow out of it? Stress, pressure, or sin, sinful enjoyment. But if we focus our mind in God, it's different. But nowadays, you may find that it is so difficult to focus our mind in God. Let's look at our daily life. If you are working, or if you go to school, every morning you get up early. You barely have time to pray, because you have to rush your bus, drive to work, beat the rush hour. It's difficult. And when you get home, when you finish everything, just last night I said, 11 o'clock, you finish all your homework, or you're after working 10 hours a day, you put your kid to sleep, and then your body is so tired. Even you pray a few minutes, and you just drop. Unless you really get up early, extra 30 minutes, but it's so difficult to do. Even when you pray at home, if you're a housewife, you pray at home, sometimes the telephone ring. Sometimes I think about, oh, cooking this and that. It's very difficult for us to focus from day one to day six. And that's why God created the Sabbath. That on that day, we should put aside everything. Separate ourselves from the world. Calm down our hearts. Settle our mind. And draw close to God. And this is exactly where we draw close to God. So the first things that we must do to set our mind on Christ or seek Christ, the first thing is we should learn how to keep the Sabbath properly. How to keep the Sabbath? Let's turn back to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Verse 14. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 14. Underline this verse, brother and sister. This is how we should keep the Sabbath. Of course, you can talk many things about how to keep the Sabbath. But the most important, the key point is in verse 14. You should delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. This means if you truly observe Sabbath, you really disconnect yourself from everything, from the world during that, from Friday evening to Saturday evening, and you will feel happy. When you feel happy, you feel joyful in the Lord, your faith will grow. But oftentimes we find ourselves, sometimes our Sabbath day is not joyful. Sometimes Sabbath day is not joyful for us. Sometimes observing Sabbath day seems to become a formality. It seems that, oh, I have to go because it is a commandment. I have to go because my parents will show at me. I have to go, otherwise God punish me. This is not delight. You have to learn how to be delight in the Sabbath. This means your heart totally on God, focus on God, and then you draw close to God. And when you draw close to God, you feel joyful. But oftentimes our Sabbath worship is not joyful because we did not disconnect ourselves from the world. Totally. For example, Friday night. What do we do nowadays, you guys, Friday night? I think most of us, Friday night, maybe half of you will go to service. Let me ask, how many of you attend Friday evening service regularly, every time? Raise your hand. Okay, half. This means half of us, maybe we are busy, we still are doing something outside. Even when we come back from service, what do we do usually? When we go home, immediately we open our computer still. Right? Still check any Facebook posting. Anyone drop me a message? Or some people will just watch a TV because there's a movie on Friday night on the TV channel. Or listen to music. And wait until 11 or 12. Or even 1. And next morning, so hard to get up. You know, why members? Some members are habitually, chronically late. I don't know whether you observe in your church. They are always some member. They are always late, no matter what. And there's always that kind of members fixed. 都是那几个, always that group. Right? And mostly young people, and sometimes middle-aged too. Why they are late? The reason is because they are always sleeping late during the night on Friday night. They didn't disconnect themselves from the world. They surf online, internet, movie, doing the worldly things, even doing their homework or whatever. And Saturday they're sleeping in. And the body, their mind is still thinking about the world. Even their body is in the church, but their heart is not connected to God. And that's why Sabbath feels nothing for them. But the Bible tells us how to set our mind on Jesus, how to focus on Jesus. The first thing we must do is to truly observe the Sabbath. How to do it? That means if there's anything not related to God, or church, or spirituality, we should disconnect ourselves from it. This is the only way to draw close to God. You know, God is unseen, God is spirit. The only way to connect to God is to disconnect from the world. Let me use an analogy. If you use a computer, right? If you have Wi-Fi power, if you go to a place, the first thing you check out, oh, is there any Wi-Fi? Is there any network here? Can your computer connect to two Wi-Fi, two networks at the same time? I don't think any computer nowadays is capable of doing it, right? If you connect to this network, you cannot connect to the other. Because you can only connect to one at a time. Our God designed our mind is very special. You know, God is almighty. God can design our mind like anyhow, any capacity. But God designed our mind, one time we can only focus on one thing. There's a saying called multitasking. And actually, the research has shown us, multitasking actually means that your efficiency of doing multiple things together even drag longer. And the efficiency even go down. Because our mind was designed that you can only focus on one thing at a time. And you can do it better if you focus. We focus on the world from day one to day six. But if we come to church, you still open your computer, you still bring your iPod. During the sermon, you still check your email. Oh, and our mind is still playing video game. I look at so many young children. Nowadays, the parents, please, in the future, when you are a parent, don't allow this to happen. Don't allow your children bring video game, iPod, iPad, whatever, to the church. This is not good. Some bring Nintendo DS. The children, they are playing video game, comparing, talking about video game at church. That's why their heart is not connected to God. Even ourselves. If we did not disconnect ourselves from God, from the world, we cannot connect ourselves to God. So that's why from Friday night, brothers, from next Friday night, you resolve. Sunset Friday night, I'm not using internet. I'm not watching TV. I'm not listening to music. I just focus on God and prepare myself for Sabbath. Prepare our hearts to the Sabbath. And what do we talk when we come to church on Sabbath? It's very important to have fellowship. But what do we talk, brother and sister? Of course, young people gather together, you need to talk. But what do you talk? Sometimes you talk about basketball, movie star, music in the world, or talk about school. Of course, it's very important for us to care about each other. But if we come to church, our body is in the holy temple. But if our talking, our discussion is about worldly subject. Sometimes I overheard about some youth conversation. Oh, after the Sabbath, where do you want to go? Bubble tea or movie? Seems that the heart is already out. Or comparing apps in the iPhone or iPad, talk about which apps is the better. This kind of thing. We have to be careful. When we come to the church, how do you focus on God? When you discuss something, even you're asking for someone, oh, how are you doing in school? How are you doing in your family? Hey, you have family problem. Wow, your children is not listening to you recently. Pray to God. You know, God can help. God can touch their hearts. Oh, you have difficulty in school recently. No, you have to pray to God, asking for God to give you wisdom. You know, God can help you. If we focus on connected to God, our discussion will always come back to one fundamentals, which is Christ. No matter it's a career problem, family problem, marriage problem, health problem, everything. If we are connected to Christ, when you discuss something, you always come back, oh, let's have faith. No, I'll pray for you. No, God will help us. Don't be worried. I have the same situation. I have the testimony to share with you. A brother so-and-so I met in NYTS also went through the same thing, right? So these kind of things always come back to God because we are connected to God. But if we, our physical body, come to the church and we didn't connect to God, we connect to the world, then even you come to Sabbath, you don't feel joyful. The more you come, the more you don't like to come because you feel your heart is out there and this place is just like a prison to locking you up so that you cannot go outside. That's why some youth, they come to church every week until one day suddenly they don't disappear. Because long before they are disappear, their heart is not in God anymore. Their heart is not in church anymore. So, set our heart in God. Keep the Sabbath right. From next Sabbath, make a determination. Friday night, sleep early. Friday night, read Bible. Saturday morning, get up early. Go to church 1 hour ahead. Pray. Prepare myself. In the church, I talk to brother and sister about testimony of faith. Encourage each other. Observe the Sabbath the way that God wants us to do. The second way to set our mind on Christ, to seek Christ, is we have to use the technology to help our faith instead of letting it to dragging us down. When I was in your age, 20 years ago, when I was in college, we didn't have any of this. At that time, no classmate have cell phone. And I have one classmate have cell phone. The one he uses a big Motorola like a monster. It's no function, just make phone call. And he's the only one bring the phone to the school. And we are so amazed. Wow, you got a phone. You are like a big boss. Huh? At that time, it's like $1,000 a phone. But now, everybody have a smartphone or cell phone. You can text, you can listen music, you can take pictures. In my days, nobody has laptop as a student, right? Because laptop costs $3,000 or $5,000 a piece. Unless you're a businessman, you can have a laptop. But right now, every student, if you want it, you can afford it. Just a few $100, you can get a laptop. At the time, you listen to music, you buy a Walkman, as I said last night, so big. Right? You can only copy music from the radio or dupe in the cassette from other people. But now, iPod, everything, you download music, and everything is inside. Video game in those days, even Nintendo's, very boring one, but now online game, you can never end in playing of it. So look at all this technology. Nowadays, people have a very short attention span. Do you know why? Because we are constantly being stimulated by all these technology gadgets and multimedias. From the moment we woke up, people have iPod, iPad, iPhone, tablet, everything, computer, listening, watching, even young people, 3 years old, 4 years old, when I visit a church member's house, wow, let a daughter, 3 years old, 4 years old, play the iPad, and they know how to find the games in the iPad. And another little girl, 5 years old, have her Facebook account. And the father is so proud to tell me my daughter has a Facebook account and know how to update it. I said, in this kind of environment, how can a person sit down and open a book to read nowadays? Because there's no video. Because why people think Bible reading is so boring? Because there's no video. There's no app here, right? It's all letters. There's no graphics. So that's why people, even church members, most of the church members don't read Bible. It's not that they don't know reading Bible is good, but they can't read it. Because the TV, the plasma TV is more attractive. The iPhone, they always play with it. So nowadays, technology really drag us down. The multimedia, the iStuff. Right. Biggest obstacle. Because time has been taken away from us. And every technology gadget uses our time and occupies some kind of working memory and also our focus from our brain. In computer terms, it's called RAM, right? In our brain, also is RAM, the memory, the focus that we use. That's why spiritually now we are so slow to respond to God, to respond to spiritual things. So that's why people cannot concentrate. People cannot focus. People cannot calm down. And what should you do? I didn't tell you to throw away your iPhone or iPad, right? Because I myself have an iPhone. All right. I didn't tell you to throw away your laptop. It's impossible. It's just impossible to get away with it. But what do we do with it then? Instead of liking it to drag you, then we can use the very same tool to help you uplift our spirituality. What did we do, as I said last night? We used the tab to help our spirituality. The problem is, what contents do we use in our computer, in our iPhone, iPad? I discovered one thing. Now, nowadays, the smartphone, you can, there's a memory inside. You can always load the sermon inside. So I find it's very helpful. When I go for exercise, I bring my phone, I listen to sermons. There's a sister. What she does is she always downloads the sermon from our e-library. And every day when she cooks, you know, cooking is a very tedious job, very boring. But when she cooks, she opens up her iPod. She doesn't know how to do it. She asks her son to do it for her. Fill the iPod with hymns. Every day, she cooks, when you fry the rice, holy, 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 wow. Even frying the rice, feel like drawing close to God. There's another brother going to work every day, 1 hour in, 1 hour out. Every day, you know, in Vancouver, the traffic jams so much, the highways, sometimes it takes you an hour to go get to work. And every day, 2 hours, but what do? If you only listen to the radio, come on, the news. Every 10 minutes, they repeat the same news, so boring. Even climate, so I mean the weather, nothing new. Sometimes the rock music or the radio, the pop music really damage your heart. You feel like your heart is going to come out. You're so frustrated. But the brother decided, since I have 2 hours every day, why don't I use it properly? Why don't I download sermon? Or sometimes you listen to the Bible reading cassette, Bible reading CD. Yes, maybe you don't have time to read the Bible, sit down. But you can read the Bible, you can listen to the Bible on and on and on again when you're driving. You can try. How many brothers and sisters, when you drive, when you are on the public transport, you listen to hymn or sermon? Anyone have this kind of habit? Let me survey. It's okay. If you do, raise your hand. A few, right? Try. This is very good. Really, when you use your multimedia spiritually, you feel so close to God. And then your heart will become so, so peaceful. When you listen to him, wow, you say what? Jesus is wonderful, wonderful. And then somebody cut into you, you say, okay, let him cut. My Jesus is wonderful, right? Doesn't matter. Really, hymns and sermons and Bible reading through the media we use really help us. So use it smartly. You are dead. This means, this from Colossians. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, right? Don't say I curse you. I didn't curse you. But Paul said you are dead. Huh? Chapter 3, verse 3. Let's read together loud. 1, 2, 3. Chapter 3, verse 3 again. Read loud. 1, 2, 3. Okay, you are dead. You die already. What does it mean you die? You are die to the world. You die to Lady Gaga, right? People, your friends say, oh, this music is really cool. You say, what? It's dead already. For me, this is no interest, no hope. You die to a Hollywood movie. All this movie come out, people say, oh, I want to watch it immediately. I say, I'm die already. I have no interest. It's not that I need not. It's not that I cannot see it. But I have no interest. This kind of thing is empty. You pay 10 bucks, 20 bucks just to see the rubbish. Not good for your spirituality. All the worldly music, all the pop songs, you die already. Right? People, I invite you to go to party on Friday night. There are lots of nice girls there. Lots of drinking. And what do you say? I die already to that. Right? I have no more interest. Right? It's not that I cannot go, but I have no interest. I die to them already. This means no hope. the world offer you no hope. The more you are into the world, the more hopeless you are. Remember the example I shared with you, that song, that musician, that pop song, Amy Winehouse. She got everything, famous, fame, money, her own album, her own career. But so what? So empty. So many Forever 27. Look at Michael Jackson, the same thing, right? Or die, just this kind of empty death. So the world over you, no hope. But only Jesus here tells us, your life shall be hidden with Christ in God. Brother, underline this. This is very important. This is very precious. Your heart, your life, your spiritual life should be protected, should be hidden in Christ. Just like if there's a storm outside, there's a heavy pouring, volcano, tornado, whatever. But you are hidden deep in Christ. So nothing can hurt you. Nothing can harm you. But if you are not hidden in Christ, then the world can affect you. That's why some young people, their one feet is in the church, but their other feet is outside the world. That's why they are weak. That's why they don't want to come NYTS. That's why, even though they are in the church, but their heart is not close to God. So let's seek that our life hidden in Christ Jesus. The third way, how do we set our life, set our mind in Christ and seek Christ, and to uplift our spiritual life, is to live a simple life. Simple life is allowing us to seek close to God. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 9. Hebrews 11, verse 9. 11, verse 9. Next, brother. Hebrews 11, verse 9. Are you in the right place? Right place. Okay, continue. Okay, so finish. Okay, thank you. Okay, here tell us the lifestyle of Abraham. Okay, everybody choose his lifestyle. And his lifestyle in the world affect his spirituality heavily. Abraham, according to the verse here, what kind of lifestyle he lived? Verse 9 tells us his lifestyle. There are two characteristics in his lifestyle. First, he dwelt in the land as a sojourner or as a stranger, as a foreign country. Have any one of you visited to any other country other than US? Other place? Not Taiwan, not Canada, even go far, like Europe or all those exotic places. Okay, some of you, huh? When you go to a foreign country, you don't feel like home. You don't feel that place is your home. Even you go to that place, it's very comfortable. You live in five-star hotel. But after a few days, you miss home. And because you don't know everywhere here, and then you don't know the people, you don't have relatives here. And you, after a while, even I give you 10 days, you feel like going home. So Abraham, when he lived in Canaan, even lived in the land, the promised land, he felt like, actually, he was a stranger. This place doesn't really belong to him. So he lived in a tent. I said, okay, he is a stranger. He won't stay here forever. The second characteristic of his lifestyle is, he lived in a tent. That means he lived a very simple life. Before I come here, NYTS, I was in Edmonton. They organized a youth spiritual camp. The real camping stuff. It's not just living in a cabin. I hate camping, to be honest. Because my first camping experience wasn't good. It was 15 years ago, when I first camping with the Edmonton and Calgary youth. At the time, when we go there, they put a tent, and then suddenly it's pouring, the rain is so heavy. And then the night was so cold. And then I was thinking, wow, it's leaking water in the tent, so where should I sleep? Okay, maybe I better sleep in the van. So I offer up myself, okay, maybe I sleep in the van. They said, okay, if you want, you go ahead. And that night, I was shivering. So cold, like living in the fridge. And I say, I'm never going to camping again. But this time, they invited me. They said, Pastor, you have to come. I said, why? You have to come because it's a youth spiritual camp. I said, well, are we living in a tent or a cabin, those permanent building? It's a camp. It's real camping. I said, oh, can I despair? I said, no, you have to come. Okay, then I go with them. But I'm so happy because I only lived there for one night. It was two nights, but I said, can I leave early because I will prepare NYTS. But one night is good enough, right? Because it's not comfortable. Yeah. And camping, you know you go there, you don't stay there long. The campsite, you rent the campsite, usually people book it one day or two nights. You set up the tent really fast. Everything is there, but after 2 days, everything gone. You live in this world like this. Imagine spiritually, we are all camper. In this world, some live 30 years old, some live 40, some live 50, 60. But we empty-handed, we come, empty-handed, we go. There's nothing we bring away. We only stay here for a relatively short period of time. And secondly, Abraham lived a very simple life. Because camping, you can't bring too many stuff. If you bring too many stuff, you're not doing real camping. You're only causing yourself trouble. Really, a complicated life brings a lot of trouble. I remember in the year 1998, when I first started my TTP training, my first trip, IA tell us we have to report it to Paris and then go to Heidelberg for training. It's my first time traveling to Europe for, at the time, it's 3 months period. We have to stay there for 3 months. And then I was thinking, I have to bring everything because 3 months is a long time. I have to bring all my CD collection just in case if I'm bored, I have something to listen. I bring my Discman. In those days, there's still Discman, sorry. All right. I have to bring some books to read. I bring a lot of clothes so that I can keep changing so it won't look like I never wash. So I have to bring everything. So end up, I have two huge-sized luggage and one computer bag. And my computer is also heavy. So it's no problem because if you take a flight, you just drop in, you just check your luggage, they take care for you. But the problem comes when I arrive Paris. Because after Paris, they say, you're going to take a train to Germany. I never take a train in Europe. Actually, in Canada, we don't even take a train. Everywhere we go, we drive an aeroplane. I said, wow, take a train. And that day, three of us, I have two other classmates at the time. One is called Preacher Stephen, and another is Brother Stefan. Their luggage is less than me. They only have one big bag plus a computer bag. I have two huge luggage plus a computer bag. And the problem is, when you take on train, wow, what happens is you have to, sometimes they don't have elevator, you have to walk all the stairs. And the changing platform is a nightmare. Imagine one computer bag and 20 kilo each luggage. How do you handle? And then even when you're on the platform, you have to climb up to the train. There's 4 or 5 huge steps so high, and there's a gap in between the... Wow, so that day is a terrible nightmare for me. Obviously, but thank God I have two other workers to help me carry my luggage. And after the 3 months I stayed there, actually I discovered many things I carry, actually I didn't use at all. I have no time to listen to all those CDs. I don't need all those clothes. I only need one shirt. So later I discovered, if you travel a lot, the best idea is you bring very few luggage. You bring very few luggage. Small, hand carry-on, light. Then wherever you go, you feel so enjoyed. And then you have time to enjoy other things than only carrying your luggage. So now everywhere I go is only one bag. If I go to Africa 31 days, 3 shirts, 3 underwear, 3 trousers. No, 2 trousers. Because you have to wash and replace. 3 socks, 3 pairs of socks. And that's it. Even come here, one carry-on. Go Africa, one carry-on. Anywhere is the same size. Because you feel light. Our life is like this. If you have too many things, too complicated life, everything we buy you need to spend time on it. For example, you buy 100 CDs. You have to spend time to listen to 100 CDs. If you don't have the time, then why buy it? If you listen to 100 hours of music, how will it affect your spiritual life? It's no use. So really, if we want to have time and the hearts to read Bible, prayer, draw close to God, make sure we get rid of many unnecessary items in our life. Make it very simple so that our life can be pure. Just like all of us here, these 2 weeks, the life is very simple. Yeah, I look at you, all very simple life. Only Bible reading, prayer, exercising, right? You enjoy the exercise. The thigh feels sore. This morning, my thighs feel a little bit sore. Maybe I do it too fast this morning. That's good. A simple life. Spiritual life. Too difficult. More challenge. So please, brother and sister, we strive to live a simple life, to draw close to God. Let's all pray together.
Hallelujah. In the name of Lord Jesus, we pray.